I want to, first of all, as I say, you're welcome to the program, and you are in Italy, but I want to ask you, before you get into, or we get into talking about a film that indeed isn't off the ground yet, and yet has gotten rave reviews. We're talking about The Maze. It's adapted from real events of the world's biggest prison escape in Europe since World War II. But I want to ask you about yourself. You're a writer. You're a filmmaker. You're sort of great many stripes. But tell us, where were you born? Where did you grow up? How did you get into this?
I was born in Dublin, and I grew up there, and I moved into film, I guess, from college. I did, I studied communications in Dublin, and I moved into writing and camera work, and from there I became a scriptwriter and a director and also a novelist.
Stephen, what did that yen for film and for filmmaking, as a writer, as a filmmaker, as a director, in what order did that come to you?
I started out as a camera assistant in the camera department, working on independent feature films in Ireland, and then I wrote a script, which it was a short script, but it was, funnily enough, it was about the conflict in Northern Ireland. It was about a young girl living in Derry in the late 60s, just around the time that the civil rights movement started. So I was actually surprised to get funding from it from a couple of bodies. So that was the first thing I directed. It was that short film. And my second one was also about Northern Ireland. It was set around the hunger strike. And after that, I moved into TV and different feature films. And I didn't work again on anything to do with Northern Ireland until 20 years later, when the possibility of making Maze came up.
Okay, can you describe for our listeners what The Maze was and the significance of that around the period that you're talking about?
Okay, well, it was built especially by the British government in Northern Ireland, just outside Belfast. It was built especially to keep IRA prisoners and loyalist prisoners in as secure a prison as they could think of to make. And it was a giant complex which was made up of eight kind of individual prisons in the shape of H's, and there was eight of these, and it held hundreds of prisoners, and from the late 70s on, anyone convicted of a paramilitary offence was put into this prison. And for the first time, they were the prisoners were made to wear prison clothing, prison issue clothing. So this was one of the reasons that led to the hunger strike, which was it was within the first decade that the prison was built. And 10 men died on this hunger strike. So that the escape kind of came out of that period, that it was such a low for the Republican movement, that the hunger strike had been such a low that they felt they needed a morale boost. So the escape plan wasn't just about escaping. It was also about a statement that they had not been defeated by the hunger strike, and they really wanted to get publicity around the world, and that was part of the reason behind their escape plan.
I would like, if you can, describe the atmosphere within the maze. This, you know, it was indeed, many of us think it was just for the nationalists, for the IRA prisoners. But as you pointed out there, you know, it was also the place where the unionists, the rebels on the other side were interred. Do we know, and I'm sure you've researched it, you know, what was the atmosphere like? Were they separated within the prison itself? Was there some degree of camaraderie or anger, bitterness? What about the inmates?
Well, it seems quite bizarre to us now, but like even people seeing our film Maze, they thought we had made this part of it up, but the British government decided that all of these prisoners who were essentially involved in a political conflict, they decided that they would not treat them as political prisoners. They would treat them all as criminals. So they decided there would be no separation of the different groups. So loyalist prisoners who were on the pro-British side, they were put in the same wings as IRA prisoners. So it was quite bizarre. And it didn't last it only lasted a few years, but the two kind of things happened that during that period. There was some cross-community dialogue between loyalists and Republicans. The people still talk about it now as one of the formative periods in their political thinking, that it was the first time they spoke. They had political conversations with someone from the opposing community. And the other thing that happened, there was also some violence, certainly some violence between the two groups, and there was a lot of tension between the two groups. And this was one of the ways the escape planners managed to get wings, which were just IRA men. They managed to raise the stakes of the conflict with the loyalist prisoners to such a level that the prison authorities gave in and decided that they would separate the two groups. And this helped in the planning of the escape, because once a H-block was completely filled with IRA men, it made the escape planning a lot easier.
And let me ask you then about, just give us a description, if you will, of, since this is very topical, conversation here at the moment with respect to building a wall between Mexico and the United States. And tell us about how this fortress was built, was shaped, and how, you know, how was it even possible, considering that we'd have to assume that the prison authorities there were much less friendly to the IRA prisoners, and how the heck did this come about in the first place? And tell us about the H block and why it was known as the H block.
It was a massive complex with an army camp on the outside of it. Allegedly, they thought it was the most secure prison in Europe. And they were called H blocks because there was eight individual prisons within the complex, and each one was in the shape of a H, and the prisoners were in the two bars of the H's, and the center part of the H was where the prison officers were. So the prisoners controlled the each H block from this bar in the center of the H, and this turned out to be, the prisoners recognized that it was the strongest place in the H, this center bar, and it also turned out to be the weakest point, because the prisoners, when they realized that if they took control of this central bar, that they would have control of the whole H, and this was a fundamental facet of their escape plan. But at the time, for a long time in Northern Ireland, the were walls built in communities, separate, they were called peace walls, but they really to stop violence between the two communities. And one of the great things about the peace process is to see those walls coming down. It's never a good thing to see people divided by barriers.
Now, about the plan for the escape, which again is legendary, historic. How did, were there any loyalists involved in this? How was the war, how did the war get around, and how did the escape, how did that plan work out?
Well, it was exclusively the Republican prisoners, and they were worried because they had to take control of the whole block. And at the time when they started planning, there was loyalist prisoners in the block. They were worried that when violence broke out, when they tried to take control, that the loyalist prisoners would join the side of the warders.
Sure.
So this was one of their big initial worries. So they had to find a way to get the loyalists moved out, and they did that by increasing the tension, and in the end the loyalists created a situation where they were moved out. So the loyalists weren't involved at all, and that was one of the keys to the escape, that early on they got rid of the loyalists entirely. IRA got rid of the loyalists entirely from their wings.
How did they get access? How did they do that?
There was tension between the two groups all the time, you know, because obviously they're enemies on the outside and they're enemies on the inside. As violence, occasional violence continued between the two groups, they used one incident and escalated it and said to the loyalists if they didn't leave that one of them would probably be killed. So the loyalists smashed up their own cells, and the warders decided to have them moved out of the wings, and that's how it happened. So some of the warders were quite suspicious and angry that they thought, you know, that they were letting the IRA control the prison, but at the time, this was in the years after the hunger strike, the politicians and the prison authorities wanted an easier life. You know, they wanted calm within the prison after the madness of the hunger strikes, and they really wanted to bring tension down. So anything that brought tension down, they were happy to do that. And like during the hunger strike period, 18 prison officers had been killed by the Republicans on the outside, and in this period, the IRA were very particular to make sure there was no violence against prison officers, because it was part of their escape plan that they also wanted to bring tension down within the prison. So it seemed like the prisoners were settling in for an easier life, when in fact they had this large escape plan working behind the scenes.
Okay. Stephen Burke, a filmmaker, writer, and his newest work, Creation, is a movie, a film, heading our way on March 22nd, and it's called Maze. Now, your film is, many might think, well, this is the story, you know, of the Maze Prison, of the of a story that many would assume this must be, you know, a maybe a Provo type movie, but you have again, you based this movie on two people, not the, it's not a movie about the you know, the ins and outs of that very destructive period, which turned out to be a huge embarrassment for the British government, that they, above all people, could not build an Alcatraz kind of prison. So you pick two people. Who are they? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one was Larry Marley, who was an IRA prisoner, and he was a serial escaper. He had escaped before and been caught, and he was one of the main planners of the escape, and I created a relationship between him and a warder, one of the key aspects of the plan was that they would make friends with the warders, you know, to bring tension down and also to find out more about the prison. So the warder that I created is not an actual real person, but a lot of the things that happened to him happened to different warders over the course of the escape period. So one of the ideas I had in writing the script was... I wrote it obviously in a time of peace, and I was very interested in one aspect of the escape, which was this befriending by the IRA prisoners of the prison warders, and I found it an interesting way, even though it was based on a deception, I found it an interesting way to look at cross-community dialogue, you know, because
right.
Larry Marley did sit down with warders and try and get to know them and try and lower their guard, and even though it was a deception, it was these conversations were still happening, and the fact that the escape was successful proves that these men were able to create friendships for that period, even though they were based on a deception.
And again, just to satisfy our curiosity. There were 38 Northern Ireland Republican political prisoners. Whether they were referred to as what they actually were or not is not that important. But how were the 38? How were they selected? How? You know, how did that word get on? And, you know, you had to have some degree, let's face it, of, you know, of knowledge, if not cooperation from the warder to have this happen. How did it actually bring us to the point where there are 38, were they pre-selected? Were they working in unison? Or did it happen that with the break there was such mayhem that it could have been 39 or 37? Tell us in a
little. Well, they picked 38 because of how many they thought would fit in the van that they were going to use to try and get out the gate. So during the escape planning period, which went on for months and months, it was a very small core group of planners, including Larry Marley, who was our lead character. But there were, at the time, there were informers on the outside, and there were so-called supergrass trials, where dozens of men were put on trial on the evidence of one informer. So, they were very worried about informers on the inside, so they kept this plan as tightly as they could for as long as they could. So with the result that some of the they picked 38 people who were going to, they were going to ask that they want to come. It was voluntary. They didn't have to go if they didn't want to. But they picked people who had long sentences still to serve. So they didn't pick people who were going to be out in 6 months. They picked people who had like 10 years still to go. So some of the escapers, they were only told on the morning of the escape, about the escape.
Wow.
In order to keep that information as tightly as possible. So people were asked on the morning did they want to come or not. They had like an hour to decide, and I don't think anybody said no, and they just, I think a lot of them, going on it, you know, they just found out and they weren't expecting to get out, you know. I think they thought it was just, you know, an exercise in, maybe a futile exercise, but, it had been so well planned. It did all go wrong in the end, but, so it was partially successful, but, that's how it happened. It's amazing to think that a lot of them only found out on the day of the escape that the escape was happening.
My guest, Franz Stephen Burke, filmmaker, writer, and director indeed of the film, the movie Maze, which again is coming on its way to New York, to Boston, to Los Angeles, and from there, of course, zigzagging across the United States, and, well, we should also include, like, North America. Okay, so you have written this masterpiece, and now it's time for you to decide, you know, who, you know, what actors could... in fact, suit you as the director and as the maker. Like, who could portray your story on film? Okay, did you have a short list, or did you have a couple of people in mind before you got halfway through?
Yes, we had a very short list. We offered the lead role to Tom Vaughan Lawler, who was very well known in Ireland. He had been the lead actor in a TV drama series that ran for 5 seasons called Love Hate. So he became involved quite early on, and he stayed with us all the way through the financing process of a couple of years. And people, you won't recognize his face, but people will know him from Avengers Infinity Wars. He plays one of the bad guys, Ebony Maw, in Avengers Infinity Wars. And to play opposite him, we picked a guy called Barry Ward, who's a well-known actor in Ireland, and we had worked with him before on an Italian-Irish co-production, and we needed somebody who had a very human side, and Barry has humanity to burn. So they were are a great pair, I think. They really feed off each other, and the scenes of them together are just, I was so happy with how strong they are.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to it. I just want to ask you, though, for a reaction. Are people who either know you through as a filmmaker or writer, are people saying, is this fella trotting out, you know, a propaganda piece, you know, with the fragility of the peace process in Northern Ireland, is this going to be perceived as, you know, an IRA movie? Is it, what are those who haven't even seen the trailer? And unfortunately, that includes myself, though Anya Sheridan has indeed filled me in on it. But what are people going to walk out of the movie theaters here? What will they gather from from your movie, Maze.
Okay. On one side, hopefully they will enjoy a thrilling escape movie. On the other side, I think people can get an understanding of both communities and in the conflict and the differences between them and also what connects them. I hope that our film points to how the peace process happened and on what basis the peace process was successful. Our movie came out in 2017 in Ireland, and before it came out, there was some negative reaction by people who hadn't seen it, saying this is going to be a propaganda piece and shouldn't have been made. But then when it came out, the reaction was hugely positive. It was the most successful Irish movie in Ireland and Northern Ireland in 2017. The box office was $1 million, which is huge for an Irish movie in Ireland. And also I went to screenings in Northern Ireland, and I had people from a unionist background. At two screenings, I had people from a unionist background come up to me and say that they had never seen their community represented so well on a cinema screen. And, you know, that was very gratifying.
Yeah, and I'm sure it will have tremendous interest when it hits here. Now, the film is Maze, and the writer and director, the filmmaker, Stephen Burke, who, as I say, is in Italy at the moment. It's coming here to New York in the height of the St. Patrick's season, because, as most of us in definitely on the East Coast of the United States know, St. Patrick's Day, God bless him and honor him, but it just goes on and on and on. We're knocking a month out of the St. Patrick's season here. Now, you're coming to New York on March 22nd, and we need to get a website. We may need to make it easy for those, you know, who would like to see this movie. We're all going to be in the St. Patrick's mood and season, and the Irish season, as I say, for the whole month. As a matter of fact, there are those who say that it only escalates around St. Patrick's Day, and then we try to drag it out as long as we can, and we do. So far, we do have a hell of a reputation in that. Maze, your film. Now, we need to get some, a link to, information on that. Tell us how to go about that.
Yeah. Okay, well, the website is mazethemovie.com, and the dates are, we have a screening with Irish Screen America in Scandinavia House on the 21st of March, and then it opens in the Village East Cinema in New York on March 22nd, and in Boston in the Somerville Theatre on the 23rd, and then in California a week later. So it's mazethemovie.com.
Listen, Stephen, again, to have a movie that, throughout the island of Ireland, one that is held by both communities, both conflicting communities, to pull that off without having a dog in the fight is, by itself, it's a great tribute to yourself. And we can't wait. We're going to meet you, by the way, when you get here to New York. We look forward very much to that. Maze the movie. MazeTheMovie.com. My guest, Stephen Burke. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. And friends, again, you're very welcome to the program. There seems like a fellow who knows his business. Frankly, when the movie, as you say, as he told us, became the most popular movie in Ireland throughout the north and south of Ireland. That says, you know, that says a lot. And we were wondering when it was going to come our way. So it is. Maze the movie. And friends, you are listening to the Flannelly Show Life, New York, Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.